Okay, we'll go down. Okay.
It's recording, it's gone.
So we take the opportunity to learn a sugya together that is definitely in Yad of the Yom Sugya, but since this is in theory in our getting slots, so we'll try to connect it back to some of the things actually that we're talking about. It'll probably be a little more Yad of the Yom than the second getting. But it actually starts with a certain parallel to some of the sugyas that we've been talking about. That's the Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah in the Testament Aleph. The Mishnah records a machlokes between Beishamah and Beisilel. When one builds a sukkah, must a sukkah be constructed with Shema or not? So that sounds like a familiar topic to us. We know that there are certain chafotzim, certain objects that are used in halachic processes that actually do have to be made. The Shema, get of course, being one of them. Everybody agrees that a get has to be the Shema. Whether that refers to the writing or the deciding, that's of course a loaded question, but everybody agrees that there's some kind of halacha of Lishma. What is the source of Lishma? A pasuk, the chos of law. Law means Lishma. So any and every time we find that a particular item requires Lishma, we must be able to pin down some kind of a pasuk, some kind of a source for that matter. As in fact, why the Gemara talks about a lot of chafotzim that require Lishma. Writing a Sefer Torah requires Lishma, and the writing of Tefillin requires Lishma. They give tzitzis, at least certain parts of the tzitzis require Lishma. So every time that there's a requirement of Lishma, it most probably is going to be some kind of actual source that teaches us that. And that sets up the stage for the machlokes between Meshav and Bisilel. Is there such a pasuk that is relevant when it comes to Sukkah? Torah doesn't say anywhere explicitly the principle of Shema. Is there any source, any mark, or any pasuk chumash that does teach us that requirement of the Shema? So Bishamah claims that yes. Bishamah claims that the psukim in Parashas Re'echaga Sukkos Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim. But the phrase Tasa L'cha, so the Torah Shavah understands that that refers not just to the celebration of Sukkos, like the Sukkos Tasa Shivas Yomim, but Tasa L'cha is a Loshan Asiyah. That actually refers to the building, to the construction of the sukkah. That's where the end of the pasuk says, "Chag the sukkah stas b'chashim is yomim, ba'os b'chami garnuchami yigvecha." When you gather up the ends, the shirayim from the threshing places, the threshing floors, that's when you celebrate sukkah. So Teshuva Peh explains to us that pasuk is not only telling us when we celebrate sukkah, it's telling us what we celebrate sukkah with. Ba'os b'chami garnuchami yigvecha is referring to the schach. But just as if you go to your threshing floor, what would be left behind? What would be shirayim left behind? So first of all, something that grew in the ground. Second of all, something that's detached from the ground. Third of all, something that's not mekabel tuma. It's not the food. It's the branches. It's the stuff. It's the junk that's left at the end. So that's the stuff that you use to make the chag ha'sukkos ta'aseh l'cha shivas yomim. So the Torah Shavah Peh explains that this phrase, chag ha'sukkos ta'aseh l'cha, has a dual meaning. The pshuto shemikra refers to celebrating, a siyas ha'chag, you celebrate the chag, but it also refers to the making to the building of the sukkah as well. So this light, so Bishamah said, chag ha'sukkos ta'aseh l'cha, L'cha means like l'shma b'get. Just as l'shma, law means l'shma, that's the mate. You have to write the get for the purpose of the woman. So too, you have to build the sukkah for the purposes of the mitzvah of sukkah. That's the view of Beishamah. And the Gemara explains that Beisilel disagrees. Beisilel says that's not what the pasuk means. L'cha is there for a different reason. L'cha is to teach me that if it's a stolen sukkah, it's not acceptable. But there is no such halacha of l'shma. So how do we pass in that halacha? L'cha is Beishamah and Beisilel. So the Gemara says the first preface that we follow the view of Beisilel. Whenever you have l'cha is Beishamah and Beisilel, we always follow the view of Beisilel with a few exceptions here. A handful of very few exceptions. This happens not to be one of those exceptions. So therefore, l'halacha, we follow the view that a sukkah need not be made l'shma. It's in this context that the Mishnah says, even according to Beishamah, if you build the sukkah within 30 days before sukkah, it's understood. It's amilakach. Stam l'shma, we spoke a little bit about this, how this impacts in terms of other areas of l'shma as well. So we ask, like we said, that a sukkah need not be made l'shma. One would think that we can accept this at face value. There's absolutely no reason, no purpose whatsoever for sukkah to be made l'shma. So nevertheless, the Tosfos in the beginning, but that sukkah, the Testament of Tosfos makes reference to Rishalmi. But the Rishalmi says that even though we do not accept the view of Beishamah, sukkah does not have to be made in Shema. Nevertheless, if a sukkah was not made in Shema, sukkah was not made for the purpose of the other sukkahs, somebody built the sukkah, built the area of shade. If it wasn't made for shade altogether, say a person has a structure and they want to store some bamboo, store some branches somewhere. So they throw the branches on top of the roof, on top of the walls in the middle of July. Nothing to do with sukkahs. not even l'shem tzel. They didn't even put the branches up to protect, to serve as a shade or anything. That's for sure no good. Even according to Beis Hillel, that's not a sukkah. Sukkah, by definition, is done for Torah's tzel. It's done for the purpose of shade. So that would be a problem. And then it wouldn't even help just to change your mind and say, okay, now, hocus pocus, now I want it to turn it into tzel. That would be a problem of ta'as sevlom. And also, you have to make the sukkah. So even Beis Hillel agree that it has to be the shem tzel, but need not be the shema, need not be the shem mitzvah. So the Rishami says that if you made a sukkah, the shem tzel, somebody middle of July decided that they want to make a little bit hot to relax and to cool themselves down, and they're sitting in this little hut for July, August, September, and now comes Sukkot. According to Bishami, you have to take it apart and put it back together again. But according to basically, you don't have to do that. What you have to do is you have to make a little bit of a something. You have to make it sound little, almost a little bit two by nothing. You have to take a little bit of the schach and pick it up, put it back down again, l'shem mitzvah. So you're not required to make the entire sukkah of the shema, but a small part of the sukkah has to be tzach shechadish b'dabar. How much is it? It talks about how much it is, a very, very small amount of the schach. So the question is, where does this come from? What kind of strange halacha is this? We just got finished saying that there's no pasuk, there's no drasha, there's no din in the Torah of lecha requiring lishma, requiring l'shem mitzvah sukkah. And yet Rishami turns around and says that l'vad shechadish b'davi, you require a little bit of a chiddush davar. How do we understand what this halacha is based on? So first of all, we're not even sure this halacha is true, even though it appears in the Rishami, and Tosfos quotes it in the halacha. Other Rishami don't mention that it could be that from the fact that the Bavli does not mention it, the Bavli could have mentioned it. It was very easy for the Bavli to mention it. And the Bavli almost literally deleted this halacha. It's not true. We don't really understand. It's not, in fact, it's not correct. So that is one view in Rishonim, that maybe the whole halacha, this quote-unquote halacha, actually is a chiddush of the Rishonim that is not accepted in the halacha. Why would we follow the Bavli over the Rishonim? So the Rif, in the end of Maseches Erevin, quotes a tradition in the name of the Gaonim, that whenever you have a machlokas between the Bavli and the Rishonim, so you always follow the Bavli, because the Bavli were the Basroi, they were the later ones. And you know, the Talmud Bavli was written a couple hundred years after the Rishonim was completed. As we already learned in Yerim Maseches Gittin, that the situation of the Makomos HaTorah, the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, after the Churban, so for a short time it was thriving, and then things began to go downhill. By the time you're in the years 300s or so, the situation in Eretz Yisrael was very, very shvach. And the entire Jewish community was kind of decimated at that time. And most of the Torah learning that was going on was already in Babel. So by the time they wrote the Talmud Bavli a couple hundred years later, so they had access to everything that had been taught by the Chacham Eretz Yisrael. They already had the Rishabis in front of them. They already knew what it said, what their opinions were. And those things that they disagreed with, so they had the status of Halacha Masra. You follow the later generations because they knew what the early generations said, and they still thought that they're going to argue with them. So we plug in the rule called Halacha Kim Masra. That's what the Rif quotes in the name of the Gaonim. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman suggests that maybe a little bit of a different twist, that maybe the reason why this tradition exists, that you just about always follow the Bavli or the Rishami, is based on a different idea, that Rabbi Chanan suggests that the Talmud Bavli, as the Rambam writes explicitly, and as the Talmud of Pesach Shnayis, very, very clearly, the Talmud Bavli was written by Skomas Kol Chachmei Yisrael. That by the time the Talmud Bavli was written, so all the action was taking place in Bavli. There was almost nothing going on there in Israel. There was almost nothing going on yet. Little small pockets here and there, Jewish community here, Jewish community there. But the overwhelming majority of the Torah scholars of the world was in Bavel. Anyone who really wanted to learn, Lamaisa came to Bavel at that point. So Bavel had the unique status of being the representation of Kol Chachmei Yisrael, just about almost the unanimous Chachmei Yisrael. And anything that's accepted by Rav Chachmei Yisrael has the status like Beis Hanagov, that's like the Sanhedrin. Even though it's not literally 71 people sitting around in a semicircle, but up he did, it's serving as the role of the Beis and all of Klal Yisrael. So that's a very, very unique status in Halacha. The Talmud Yerushalmi was never really written that way. The times in the Talmud Yerushalmi, there was already a thriving, competing community already in Babel. So we've been learning about the whole first couple of bottom of Sechas, getting back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Babel. So the Talmud Yerushalmi was written by great, great people. It was written by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, the great, great star Talmid Chacham and Eretz Yisrael at the time, but they were not representation of the Rav Chachmei Yisrael. Rav Chachmei Yisrael, even at that time, already were in Bavel. So the Talmud Rishami, as great as it was, it was never really had that seal, it never really had that definitive koach of the Talmud Bavli, because the Talmud Bavli was written Baruch Chachmei Yisrael. So no matter how you slice it, there's a general rule in halacha that you follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, unless there's no machlokes. Let's say the Bavli doesn't weigh in on a topic. So the Bavli doesn't talk about a topic, so then whatever the Chachmei Yisrael said, we assume was the consensus view. So this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Here, there is no Gemara that says in the Bavli, you don't need Chiddush Dava. There's no Gemara that says Yerushalmi is not right. But you read all the sugyas of Masechta Sukkah, and it's almost by silence the Bavli is disagreeing with Yerushalmi. The Bavli is not mentioning it, not saying a word, not a mention of the requirement of Chiddush Dover. It sounds like the Bavli disagrees with it. So that's the Machlekes of Rishonim. So Taisus understood that no, the Bavli doesn't disagree. There's no Gemara that says it disagrees. So the din is true, Yerushalmi is correct. It's actually Chiddush Dover. And others say no, the Bavli by not mentioning the topic clearly disagrees, and therefore we should reject this entire halacha. The bottom line is the halacha should not be pasuk like this. We pasuk in the halacha tzorach shechadish bedover. So the sukkah was built shalom she mitzvah. So one would require this idea of chiddush davar. But where does it come from? What's it based on? How do Yerushalmi know it? So the pashas and varim is it's only a chumah mid the rabbanim. Minat Torah is not really true. If it was really true, Minat Torah, like Mishamai, it wouldn't be enough to pick up a couple of pieces of bamboo and wave them around and put them back down again. You'd have to do a lot more than that. You'd have to dismantle the entire sukkah. So it's probably only a chumah midrabanan. And as being a chumah midrabanan, it's only lechet chila. It's not ma'akib b'di'evit. So if a person had this sukkah built in the middle of July, as long as it was done with shem tzel, it was done for the purposes of shade. So even though it wasn't done in all the shem mitzvah, even according to Mishami, the sukkah is not acceptable in the Torah, we don't accept that. We follow the Sil, the sukkah is perfectly acceptable in the Torah. But the evidence, even shared with the Rabbana, just the Chachila, you were supposed to have done the idea of Chiddush Badavar. So the post can point out that this idea of Chiddush Badavar is not only true if the sukkah was built more than 30 days before, it was built the Shalom Shem Mitzvah. What if it was built right before Sukkot, but it was built by an individual who cannot build the Shem Mitzvah? He doesn't have the Kalim, doesn't have the ability to build something in the Shem Mitzvah. Who's an example of someone who couldn't build the Shem Mitzvah they wanted to? A non-Jew. How do you know that? Why can't the non-Jew build the Shem Mitzvah? So that's also a throwback to Maseches Gittin. It's a sugya later on in the second parak, where the Gemara raises the question, can a non-Jew write a get? Is there anything wrong with a non-Jew writing a get? So it's a non Gemara. We mentioned this a couple of shiurim ago, where Tosfos makes the observation, a non-Jew writing a get. Stop, hold the phone. Doesn't the husband have to write the get? And doesn't when the self write the get, isn't he serving as the shaliach of the husband? Isn't all that true? And therefore, a non-Jew can't be a shaliach. That's a fair shigmar Masechus Kedushin. So Tosfos says, oh, for the fact that the Gemara is discussing a non-Jew writing a get, you see from here, that premise is wrong. A husband does not really have to write the get. The sofer is not the shliach of the husband. When the Torah says, v'chosav lo sefer krisos, that v'chosav lo does not refer back to the husband. It talks in general, a person, whoever that person is. So that's where the Gemara is opening up the possibility. Maybe the non-Jew is also, he's a person, v'chosav. You can also, John can also write the get. So the Gemara ultimately rejects it. It says the non-Jew cannot write the get. Why? Because the non-Jew cannot create lishma. That when he writes to get, he's not going to do it lishma. So the Gemara says, what do you mean he's not going to do it lishma? Stand over him, pay him a few extra dollars and say, do it lishma, do it lishma, do it lishma, do it lishma. The Gemara says, akama daite denav shika of it, then it's still not lishma. But all this, all the kvetching, and all the standing, and all the yelling, all the screaming, at the end of the day, the non-Jew is still not doing lishma. So there's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam, what that means. We're going to hopefully talk a lot about this later on, so it gives him get in. Rashi learned that you still never really know whether it means lishma. With all your coaxing and all your bribing, at the end of the day, you're not quite sure whether you really wrote lishma or not. It's definitely something to get is not acceptable. And the Rambam says, no, the Rambam says that a non-Jew can't do lishma, even if he tried to. Even if we could read his mind and he's saying lishma a million times over, but he's thinking, only a Jew can create lishma. The concept of lishma, you have to be in the parsha, you have to be in the sugya, you have to be a bar hochi to give a get in order to create lishma. It's a halachic impediment, not a practical impediment. But no matter how you slice it, it's going to potentially be a problem when it comes to building a sukkah as well. So according to Beishama, who holds that you need a sukkah lishma with the rice, it's possible with the evidence, you know. So for sure the non-Jew can't build a sukkah for you. But even according to Beis Hillel, who holds that the sukkah doesn't really have to be the shema, but with the rabbanim lechetchila, you require chiddush b'davar. So that would be a big question. let's say if a non-Jew built your sukkah, he put all this chach on. So would we say, wait, even though the sukkah is technically kshera, would we say lechatchila mid the rabbanon, he's supposed to take some of his chach off and do a little bit of chiddush davar? So that is the din. That's the halacha. If the non-Jew built the sukkah, so then lechatchila you would require mid the rabbanon chiddush davar. So the poskim discuss, is that always played out? Is that always practical? Bisman is that? So Rabbi Shishternberg in his safe modern Bisman and has a chiddush. I think that the oilam relies on, even though I don't know necessarily everyone knows this chiddush, but I think that the mice that people rely on. So Rabbi Shishternberg writes the following, that when do we say that a non-Jew builds a sukkah, so that's considered to be a sukkah that still requires a chila chiddush davar? That's true, says Rabbi Shishternberg, if a non-Jew builds a sukkah on his own. He's building, he's in his own backyard. Before Sukkot, he decides to build himself a nice little hut. And I want to call it his hut on Sukkot. So according to Beshama, it's not good even in the Torah. It wasn't made Lishma. We pass Leib Silo, that's good. But the Rabbanan, you should ask him before Sukkot, can I pick up a couple of pieces and throw them back down again to make it Chiddush Badav Lishma. Says Rosh Sternberg, what if the non-Jew is building it on your behalf? You're paying him. He's the custodian in the shul. That's, you know, that's a job. And they have to keep his guys up on the sukkah. So he does it all. So says Rosh Sternberg, if the din would have been that minat Torah, you require us to be lishma, like I get, so then we would have said, oh yeah, yeah, akabat, I did an afshik of it, that's no good. Here, he's an extension of you, you pay him. So we have a rule called yad poel ki yad balabayas, that whatever the poel does, whatever the worker does, it's like you, you're doing it. So for this very, very watered down din of he thinks this was never said under these circumstances, and if a non-Jew is doing it as your agent, as your employee, so he says he thinks that would be good even lechatchila, and there would be no need to do chiddush badavar as well. That's what a lot of the shuls rely on. A lot of shuls have the custodians build the sukkah. So some of the shuls have somebody comes by and starts waving the schach a little bit, and others don't. Others rely on this idea of Rav Sternberg that if the guy is working for you, so then there would be no need whatsoever. But again, the whole din, this whole quasi lishma of Rusham is very, very lenient. First of all, some of the Rusham say the whole thing doesn't exist. And even according to those who say it does exist, it does impossible to be of it. And it's all mitrabban anyway, so those who rely on this cooler Rav Sternberg have what to rely on. I know around the yeshiva, so usually, you know, right around the for your kippah, so the sukkah, you know, one of the two of the sukkahs that on campus start to pop up. So you see the non-Jews are putting together the sukkah. So I remember I used to always wonder about that. Is anyone bothering doing chiddush lishma? So one of the workers in the yeshiva, from fellow, works in maintenance in the yeshiva. So I once asked him about this. He said, yeah, that's my job. He said, I go around right before sukkah. I pick up a couple of branches, one of the mats or something, throw them up and down. So it should be a chiddush lishma, even according to the machmirim that the employee does it. But again, those shuls that just rely on definitely yesh lemam bi this book. And I'm going to go running around chalamoid and asking whether a lot of the restaurants will rely on this. A lot of the restaurants, the nadjah takes down the chach every night because the face can fly off and he throws it back up every day. Lav dafka that the Jewish owner does it. So, Jewish owner does it, but if it was done by a non-Jew, then nice, it's good anyway. So this idea of Chiddush Davar, this quasi lishma that we're talking about, according to Rishali, seems to be related to the Beis Shammai part of the sugya, just not to the same extreme as Beis Shammai. So the Netziv has an entirely different twist on this sugya. Some Achronim say Bedas and Netziv. The Netziv gives the introduction to this, and others pick up along the lines of the Netziv, that maybe the idea of Chiddush Davar is based on something totally different. It's really nothing to do with Lishma, nothing to do with Bisham, and nothing to do with Gittin, and to do with Tzitzis, with Tefillin, Sefer Torah. It's a whole different reason, this idea of Chiddush Lishma. I've said the idea of Chiddush Davar in terms of building a sukkah. There is a big question, what the role of building the sukkah is all about. What exactly is the halachic significance of building a sukkah? So obviously, if you don't build a sukkah, you're not going to have a sukkah. So that's what we call machshire mitzvah. It's the same, if I don't go and buy a lulav, I'm not going to have a lulav. If I don't go and find a shofar, I'm not going to have a shofar. If I don't bring matzah, I'm not going to have matzahs. So there are concepts in halacha called machshire mitzvah. So sometimes the line becomes a little bit blurred. What's considered to be just machshire mitzvah, just simply a preparation that I have to do? It doesn't really matter whether I buy the lulav, whether somebody gives it to me as a gift, whether I have a lulav in my backyard. At the end of the day, I got to figure out some kind of a way practically to make sure when it comes to kach lecham yom rishon, I have a lulav to shake. So those are what we call machshirei mitzvah. Then you have sometimes something that's more than just machshirei mitzvah. It's actually the mitzvah proper. There's a mitzvah, a formal mitzvah, potentially to buy the lulav. There's a formal mitzvah to build a sukkah, a formal mitzvah to make the mountains. How do you know which is which? How do you know whether something is just simply a preparation, just a technical preparation, or whether the act, the preparation, is gufa considered to be a mitzvah? So that gets a little bit tricky. So you have to look at the psukkah, look at the chumash a little bit to figure out which is which. So there is a comment of the She'iltas. The She'iltas was written a long, long time ago. It was written in the days of the Gaonim by Rabbi Chai Gold, that he wrote along the style of like halachas on the parsha. It's like many rabbanim during the course of the week, they give a shiur and halacha about something related to the parsha. So that style goes all the way back to the days of the Gaonim. So in the Sefer She'iltas, he goes parsha, parsha, parsha. And at the end, he has a couple of things that he would speak about, like the same way the rabbis today speak about in Yad Yama before Yom Tov. So he would give the shiurim and halacha before a different Yom Tov. So at the end of Sefer Devarim, he has his drushes that he would give in shul before Sukkot. So one of the drushes, he speaks about this very topic. He speaks about that perhaps there are two parts, two dimensions of the mitzvah of Sukkah. Because there are really two psukim that speak about Sukkah. The Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Sukkah in Parshas Emor, and the Torah repeats it again in Parshas Re'eh. So in Parshas Emor, the Torah says, a Sukkah's teish v'shivas yamim. The Torah doesn't say anything about building a Sukkah, it just tells you the Sukkah's there already. This is what you do in the Sukkah. A Sukkah's teish v'shivas yamim. How did the Sukkah get there in the first place? That's your problem. You need to figure out how to build the sukkah. So you got to learn all the din. You got to learn all the mishnah. So the sukkah is in sukkah. How to build the halachic kosher sukkah. But the Torah doesn't address the actual construction of the sukkah proper. It's only in Parashas Re'eh that the Torah actually talks about the construction process. Chag HaSukkah is Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim. So we mentioned that Tasa L'cha, the Torah Shabbat explains, doesn't only mean to observe the yontif. It means Chag HaSukkos, means the Sukkos Tassav. Lo Shana Siya is something that talks about something tangible, something practical in this world. It doesn't just refer to observing a holiday. Chag HaSukkos Tassav L'cha means build yourselves a Sukkah. That's why Beshameh said Tassav L'cha, that it can't be, it has to be the Shema. That's why Beshameh said L'cha means it can't be stolen goods. That's why Be'osmecham and Granachem Yikbecha refers to what the Shach is made out of. Because the phrase Chag HaSukkos Tassav L'cha is not really talking about on Sukkos. It means making the sukkah beforehand. So the She'iltas highlights that there are really two different parts of the mitzvah of sukkah. There's the yeshiva of a sukkah, and then there's the asiyas sukkah. And the asiyas sukkah is also a mitzvah. Well, it counts technically as one of the tag mitzvahs, I'm not sure, but it's considered to be a maisa mitzvah of building a sukkah. So what does that mean exactly? Let's say a guy built a sukkah, builds a beautiful sukkah, that he does about to sit in the sukkah. It's a little modern, a little bit strange. So is there, there's an independent mitzvah to build a sukkah? So the Netziv wrote a long, long, long parish, all the most comprehensive work of all the Torah that the Netziv has been shooting the Lord for 50 years. So he wrote so many different things. So his biggest work was his running comments along the She'iltas. So he uses the She'iltas, not just a comment on the She'iltas proper, but as a springboard to talk about everything under the sun. So at the very end of the Netziv on the She'iltas, so he raises this question, which goes way beyond just the Yantar Sukkis. He says, very often we have Machshire Mitzvah, which is what we call Machshire Mitzvah Ksuvim BaTorah. That sometimes the Torah itself addresses the Hechsher Mitzvah. When it comes to lulav, the Torah doesn't tell us how we're going to get that lulav. When it comes to shofar, the Torah says, Yom Tri Elochem. You have a shofar, blow the shofar. How you got it? You want to get it off your own ram, you want to buy the store, you want to borrow it, you want to take it. You figure out how to get it. The Torah doesn't address the nitty-gritty details, how to get that shofar. That's called the Hechsher Mitzvah, she'ein kasuv b'Torah. But sometimes the Torah does talk about it. Chagasuk was tasa lecha. Or gedilim tasa l'cha, avakar v'skuzuscha. The Torah doesn't just say there are strings on your bag. The Torah says put them on. Gedilim tasa l'cha. So the Netziv uses at least those two examples of machshir mitzvah ksuvim b'Torah. And whenever you have a machshir mitzvah ksuvim b'Torah, that's a new category. That's a different kind of machshir mitzvah. There's a big difference between how you get a shofar and how you get a sukkah. My nafkamin l'dina. So the Netziv says the most important nafkamin is as follows. We have a rule called mitzvah by Yosef and Mishlucho, that you're supposed to do mitzvahs yourself. You're not supposed to delegate mitzvahs to shlichus. Some mitzvahs can't be delegated. So I can't decide I'm oversleep today. I'll ask you to be my shlich to put tefillin on. That's not going to work. That's called the mitzvah shebegufo. But many other mitzvahs can be done by shliach. So the Gemara says in the Maseches Kedushin, not the Malach and Aleph, it's not right to do that. But the end, if you're stuck, you can't do the bits for yourself, so never you have to hand it over to Shliach. But to do that is considered to be not the proper covet for a mitzvah. That the Rishonim explained, that's something that you like to do, you do yourself. Generally in life, things that we don't like to do, we try to delegate to committees to find other people to do it for us. So to a person to delegate doing mitzvahs to others when they can do it themselves, that's not right. That's a violation of mitzvah yosef v'shluchah. So the Tziv raises the question, would we apply this rule of mitzvah yosef v'shluchah to machshirei mitzvah as well? Would you say that there's an idea that I should go to an animal and I should take off the horn and I should prepare as a shofar? Is that something that we're supposed to be doing with that time? So the Tziv says, no. The Torah doesn't talk about that act of creating a shofar. So someone's got to do it. It doesn't have to be you. So there's no mitzvah yosef v'shluchah because the Torah doesn't even give any significance to the preparation of the shofar. Well, let's say, for example, the planting of the esrogim. You have to plant your new chumah, l'chatchila, mitzvah yosef v'shluchah. You should plant your own esrog tree. Torah doesn't say it. Torah says you have to move an esrog. It's the first esrog. Take it, pick it up, shake it, do the mitzvah. So whatever happens before the mitzvah, is irrelevant. Somebody else can do it on your behalf. But there are other mitzvahs that the Torah does not treat with irrelevance. The Torah says, Chai Nesukas Tasa, Tasa is Lashon Achila, Lashon Asiya, or Gedilim Tasa Lachaz, Lashon Asiya. So those kinds of mitzvahs, the right thing to do is, as an expression of Chavivas HaMitzvah, you are supposed to be doing yourself. You're not supposed to delegate to others. The mice, if you delegated, the mitzvah still mitzvah fulfilled, you're into the Sukas Kosher, there may be somebody else, but that dimension of the Hechsher Mitzvah Kosher Torah, you lost that out. That's what the Tziv points out, that there's a Rishalmi that says that when you build a Sukh, you make a bracha. So we happen not to bask in that way. The Gemara and Sukha raises that question, the Gemara rejects it. It says, no, we hold you only make the bracha b'shas Gemara Mitzvah. You don't make the bracha, even though it's Hechsher Mitzvah Kosher Torah, you don't make a bracha on it. So the Tziv suggests that we don't find anywhere in the Rishalmi that when you prepare a shofar's horn, and the factory makes a bracha, Allah sees shofar, never heard of such a thing. So there are certain mitzvahs that the Hechsher mitzvah doesn't lend themselves to any bracha. A guy's planting an esrog tree, so he makes a bracha, shek shel the toe esrog tree. That's nonsense. There's no mitzvah whatsoever. It's not even a Hechsher mitzvah. That's just the practical reality. If you don't have a tree, you don't have an esrog. But other kind of Hechsher mitzvahs, like tzitzis and sukkah, so the Rishami does have the possibility, the Rishami actually concludes, you do make a bracha. And again, we don't accept it. When it quotes that possibility, it ultimately rejects it. So even though the Gemara rejects it in the realm of brachas, the basic idea is still there, that there is something to be gained by a Hechsher mitzvah across the Torah. So if that's the case, that a Hechsher mitzvah across the Torah is significant, even according to us, so maybe that's what's going on when the Rishami says, Toshi Chadish Badover. A person built a sukkah, so if you built it l'shem sukkah, either you explicitly built l'shem sukkah 6 months ago, or it's within Shloshim Yom, so it's Stam L'Shma, it's understood you're doing it L'Shem Mitzvah Sukkah. So not only am I going to have a kosher Sukkah, but I'm fulfilling the Mitzvah Sukkah to Aslacha. But a person didn't do that. He didn't do that because either he made it himself 6 months ago, Shloshim Mitzvah, or his non-Jewish neighbor was building a hut, and now he's just kind of, you know, rolling on the first night of Sukkot. So it's true, the Sukkah Mitzvah HaChem is okay. It's not that the sukkah is lacking. The first understanding of the Shami was the sukkah mitzvah chevta really needs lishma. Not really, not like the Shammai, but the chetchila with the rabbanon needs lishma. So the chevta, there's something wrong with the chevta. According to the second beer, so Shtumich has this in his sefer also, that according to the second understanding, that there's nothing wrong with the sukkah. We pass the sukkah doesn't need lishma, but it's not a get. That's it, because that's true. There's no did mitzvah sukkah. The sukkah doesn't need lishma, doesn't need chrishtava, doesn't need anything. But you as a gavra, you as a person, are missing something. You lost your opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of asiyas sukkah. So how much of a sukkah do you have to build to fulfill the mitzvah? I got to build 100 sukkahs. I got to build a sukkah that's 500 feet long in order to fulfill the mitzvah. No, it's a little bit. It's a little mash, a little something, a little participation. That's also considered to be mitzvah yas v'shluchah. That's like the Magen Avraham points out in Hilchos Bedikas Chametz. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, that there were some places that people would hire people to do Bedikas Chametz for them. So the Magen Avraham says, what do you mean? Stop. Why is that right? How could the Gemara justify that practice? Aren't you supposed to be doing Bedikas Chametz yourself? So the Magen Avraham says, yeah, you're going to start it off. You do a little bit of it. Mitzvah Yosef Shluka doesn't mean you have to do the entire thing. Let's say if we have a sukkah. So I built a sukkah yesterday with my oldest son. So I don't have to hog all the schach myself. I put up some of the schach. He puts up some of the schach. So everybody fulfills the mitzvah. Mitzvah yos mishvuch just means you have to participate in the ma'isa mitzvah a little bit. So if you have a whole sukkah that was built by a non-Jew, so the whole sukkah was built shalom l'shma. So nobody really got the mitzvah of asiyas sukkah. So that's what the Rishami says. The chetchili should do chidush bavar in order to champerine that idea of a mitzvah yos mishvuch. That's the case. Maybe one could argue that, let's say I have my own sukkah. I built my own sukkah myself in the back of my house. Now I happen to be meeting in a pizza store in Chol Hamoed, and I know that sukkah wasn't made, quote unquote, with the Hosef Lishma. Is there anything wrong with eating that sukkah? Maybe one could argue that maybe that's going to be l'chad chila. If you hold it, the whole idea of Chiddush Davar is mitzvah gavra, and I should fulfill the mitzvah. I did my mitzvah already. So now I have another sukkah. The days of the Rishama, they couldn't imagine people going from pizza store to pizza store with sukkah. The guy built a sukkah, and that was a sukkah that only who's traveling the world with sukkahs. So maybe you could argue that would be another reason to make it. That if I'm walking around, I go to the shul kiddush, I don't have to start scrounging around and asking the maintenance guy. Somebody put up a couple of people branches. Anyone do chiddush davar? Again, according to Rosh Sternbruch, even the chachira, that would be okay. And even if not according to Rosh Sternbruch, it's still kosher. Minatara for sure it's kosher. Even the Ravon is kosher. But according to this nucha, maybe it's totally okay because there's not got nothing wrong with the sukkah. Whatever was lacking in the gavra. The gavra really did his mitzvah of a siyas sukkah. Let's go run a new chumri. I got to become a sukkah builder in Erev Sukkah. I got to build about 1,000 sukkahs. You built my one sukkah. Sure, it's yitzim. I did of chagas of the stas. Maybe. So at the end of the day, you can. The simple scholarship, you're not equipped to go do research to figure out whether somebody threw on a branch or two lishma. For a variety of reasons, the simple still good to go. Okay, wish everyone a Shabbos and a Bichatim and a Bichatim. We'll take a little bit of Zvanim. I think we earned a bit of Zvanim. We lived the whole Zvanim a few weeks. So, Mitzvah, we have to.